Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Given government influences many facets of our lives, it is critical that we monitor how it performs and operates and use that information to shape and transform how it works. By adopting proven performance management practices, such as ambitious goals set by leaders combined with frequent data-driven reviews, the administration expects federal agencies to continually improve their ability to meet mission and serve citizens. How has the federal performance management framework evolved over the last two decades? How has the federal government sought to create a culture of performance improvement? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Shelley Metzenbaum, former Associate Director for Performance and Personnel Management at the Office of Management and Budget. Shelley, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Michael. It's terrific to be here.
So, Shelley, before we get into specific initiatives you pursued when you were with OMB, what is the mission of the Office of Management and Budget? And could you tell us a little bit about how it's organized?
Sure. Well, OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, serves the president, and its mission is very simply to work with agencies to help them meet the president's policy, budget, management, and regulatory objectives. OMB also plays this critical role supporting cross-agency action, learning, and co-investment in a number of cases. So you asked a little bit about the organization of OMB. So the OMB has a lot of different component parts, and I think it's best to think of it in terms of its objectives because those component parts tend to work with one another, although from the outside people may not see it that well. But there are some offices, such as my office and the eGov office, the financial officer's office, the acquisition office. And then there are other offices, such as the Legislative Reference Division, that looks at sort of legislation and makes sure you get government-wide comment on it. The Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, which deals with regulation that everyone knows about on specific regulations, but also on statistics across government. And then there are the resource management offices that people most commonly think of as the budget offices. But we all really work together. So my office, in each resource management office, there are performance leads and personnel leads with whom we work. And we have complementary roles that we work on with the agencies. So whereas we may have expertise in how do you set an effective goal and how do you measure, what are good measurements, how do you use the data, we have policy setting in terms of what do we expect agencies to do in that generally. They work specifically on specific policies as well as trying to make sure that about the affordability of those policies and dealing with the trade-offs when you have to make trade-offs in terms of how much you can afford.
I'd like to transition to your specific role while you were at OMB. What were some of your duties and responsibilities as the Associate Director for Performance and Personnel Management?
So as the Associate Director, I came in, my responsibilities working with the Chief Performance Officer, Deputy Director for Management, also with the Director of the Budget, of the whole Office of Management and Budget, to really determine what our policy was in terms of performance improvement, performance management, how we were going to use goals, measurement, how we were going to use them, and to set that policy and then to communicate it and then to make sure that agencies were executing on it. We also took on a big role working with the Performance Improvement Council to support that effort. And that was a big part of what our office did. So really thinking about changing the mindset, if you will. I sometimes like to say resetting the mindset. People talk about culture change, where this was about improving performance. It wasn't about checking a box that you adopted a certain practice or that you had gotten a certain score. We were really trying to do it so that agencies were very clear about what it was they were trying to accomplish, how they were trying to accomplish that. They were looking at the best evidence out there, making sure they were disciplined in their delivery, working with their delivery partners, but also with their to think about the strategies, so to look at the evidence, and then constantly ask, and not only once a year, but a more frequent basis, where they were looking at priorities. How are we doing? What can we do to work smarter?
Yeah, so this was no compliance exercise.
This was no compliance. This was bringing it alive. This was bringing goals and measurement, taking them from being words on a page or bits on a, you know, website, but to really being tools, power tools, I like to think of them, that we had looked at the evidence and seen this happen in other governments, federal, state, local, you know, other countries, and really seen how powerful this is, and also the best practices in the private sector.
So as you look over your tenure at OMB, and it was 4 years, correct?
It was four years. Yeah, a little under 4 years.
A little under. What were some of your biggest challenges that you faced, and how did you address those challenges?
So that's an interesting question. I would say we had a number of challenges, but the two that I think were perhaps the most surprising to me. One is, when I think about goals and goal setting, I think about it as a communication exercise, a vision exercise, a way, a shorthand way of saying to people within the organization, beyond the organization, delivery partners, watchdogs, customers, clientele, whatever. What is it we're focusing on? What are we trying to accomplish? And using the ambitiousness of the goals as a way of communicating where the priorities were, et cetera. It apparently had not been that way, that the way agencies had used goals and measures was to try and set goals and measure for everything all the time, instead of treating it as a priority-setting exercise, but more than an exercise, a way of implementing, a way of communicating, and then a way of making things happen. So one of my surprises was how little priority setting there had been. The second surprise was how the work on evidence, and when I say evidence, finding things that work, mm-hmm. and you know, people, there's a whole world of evaluation, and the world of performance mm-hmm. had bifurcated. I had assumed they were one big whole, and in fact, they were operating along different tracks, and they weren't talking to each other. I think we've made a lot of progress over that in the last few years, and we have a lot more progress to be made. But it's exciting where people are realizing that sometimes, and a lot of the times, you need performance measurement on a regular basis, and then you can use that performance measurement as the outcome indicators, or for those who learned any statistics, the dependent variable that you can then do independent to find what the important independent variables are, regression analyses or whatever. But also you can integrate experiments mm-hmm. with control groups into agency actions, and trying to get that now as a way of doing business. And I was surprised, quite frankly, at how far apart they had become, that people just weren't bringing them home. They weren't operationalizing this.
So what are the characteristics, given your time both in academia and in government, what makes an effective leader?
Well, it's a great question, and I think there's lots of different characteristics of effective leaders and lots of different kinds of effective leaders. But I do think it's very important to keep your eye on the prize and to communicate that. In other words, be very clear about what it is you're trying to accomplish and not try and do everything all the time, mm-hmm. but rather be clear about what the priorities are. So I think keeping your eye on the prize, but then once you've set a goal, not just giving up on it, talking about it, asking about it. I think that's incredibly important. I think you want to create an environment that invites innovation. And innovation means there's risk-taking. And risk-taking means that things won't always work. We have to, you know, have leaders who believe, and I think really great leaders think, if at first you don't succeed, try again. I mean, it's a great, you know, saying. We ought to say it more and more, because if we're not having any areas where we have to try again, then that means we're not trying very much that's very innovative. So creating an environment where it's expected that you're going to have multiple failures before you have great success, and that you really want that innovation. Creating an environment where you can ask questions two ways three ways, five ways, and it's not a gotcha environment where there are serious after-action reviews where it's not seen as, oh my goodness, you know, you did something horrible, but rather something horrible happened. Why did that happen? What can we learn from that? And making sure that you apply that. So creating an environment where you really get that kind of openness in exploring what works and what doesn't. And then finally, really thinks about the delivery partners and who outside the organization is going to care, and make sure to communicate both to the key opinion leaders so that they understand and share and appreciate what the agency is doing, but also to delivery partners who are so critical for so much of our domestic policy, but also our international work. We don't do it on our own. We always do it with delivery partners. And leaders, I think, appreciate that and start to think and help their organizations think strategically about that.
How has the federal government sought to create a culture of performance improvement? We will ask Shelley Metzenbaum, former Associate Director for Performance and Personnel Management at OMB, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.